Welcome to Your Dental Success Podcast, the show that reveals how to take your dental practice to the next level. Hear from professionals in the industry as they share their stories of success and inspire you. You'll also discover how to attract more patients with effective digital marketing strategies. Here's your host, Mike Peterson.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. You are listening to Your Dental Success Podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Peterson. I'm looking forward to having today's guest on the show, Dr. Bill Williams. Bill is a native of Atlanta, Georgia, and has practiced dentistry in Metro Atlanta for over 40 years. He is in private practice working 2 days a week in the group practice he founded, Suwanee Dental Care. His coaching and consulting firm, Solstice Dental Advisors, helps dentists discover how to double their practices by implementing proven marketing, management, efficiency, and leadership skills. His book, Marketing the Million-Dollar Practice, debuted in 2014 and went to the top of Amazon as the number one bestseller in dentistry and number 15 among all books on marketing. He runs the Solstice 5M Masters Academy and the 5M Dental Mastermind. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill.
So good to be here all the way from Cambridge, England. I'm glad to be on the show today.
I was just going to say, you're in the UK right now, which is kind of exciting. And you're over there for, I think, visiting your son, didn't you say?
My son lives in Cambridge, and he's married to a wonderful British lady who's a psychiatrist. And so they have a young daughter that we just had to come see. She's 9 months old.
Oh, 9 months, man. And I bet you she's got I love British accents. Does she have a nice, strong British accent?
She cries in a great British accent.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the wife, though, your daughter-in-law. Does she have a good, strong British accent?
I say she does.
I love British accents. I think they're very, very, very cool. Hey, well, I want to get right into it. As our listeners know, I try to keep this at about 30 minutes. I want to respect everybody's time and appreciate everybody for taking 30 minutes out of their day to listen to this podcast, and always trying to bring lots of value to help dentists all across the country and the world globally, since we are starting to get listeners in other countries, help them grow their practices. And I want to get right into this. And hey, Bill, you talk about Big Five in dentistry. Can you tell me what they are and why they're significant?
Well, you know, the Big Five is something I put together that relates to what makes dentists successful. If you want to crack the code on being very successful and you have a lot of years behind you, then you can kind of look back and see where you've been, and you can see exactly what you did to make it so easy. And I say easy because after 40 years, I think I've cracked the code on being consistent in producing a significant number of dentistry dollars in dentistry. And I do it week after week, month after month. And so I think the five things that I broke it down into, and this may be something that's new to some people, but others may have thought about it, but it starts out with mindset. And then you can't do it without a team. And one thing that I hit upon that really made sense to me was facility. There's a lot of things about dental facilities that are the bottleneck that keep dentists from growing. So I like to mention that. And then marketing, of course, your expertise. If you can't market well, you can't be a very successful dentist, I don't think. So you need marketing help. And finally, the other big thing is capacity. Each dentist, each professional has a capacity at which they can run or that they can lift. You know, if you're a weightlifter, you're only going to lift so much weight. Mm-hmm. If you're a runner, you can only run so fast. So that's the Big Five.
Okay, let's break those down a little bit so our listeners can kind of understand them a little bit better.
Yeah, mindset is where I start. If I had to say one reason that my dentists that I work with are so successful, is because we work on breaking them out from the ordinary. We create a new paradigm for them that they may have not ever considered. I had that done for me back in 1981 when I attended a course with Ron McConnell and Gary McLeod called Quest. And a lot of the old timers will know the Quest Management Program was a time where you brought your team together and you all learned about practice management. And it was really the first practice management stuff that I'd ever attended. I'd always been to the Pankeys and Dawsons and other courses to learn technical dentistry, but it was changing my mindset, giving myself permission to do better. You know, dentists need permission mm-hmm. to get out of the rut, and that's what we did.
That's neat. When I would think, like you said, it starts with mindset. So and not only that, I think you can probably even go deeper than that. But I mean, I think, you know, every day that the dentist shows up to work, it starts with what you're thinking in your mind, you know, whether, you know, it's success related, whether it's, you know, revenue related, or just, you know, happiness in your profession and taking care of your patients. I think that mindset's probably a big one.
Well, I broke it down because, you know, I've been doing it so long, I don't think about it. I just go to work and do it, and it happens every single day. And so earlier this year, I did break it down into 50 different things I do every day. And lo and behold, it became so powerful when I started teaching it that it made instant success for the guys who learned it. And some of it we learned a long time ago, like be capable of doing full mouth dentistry. If a patient wants their whole mouth done in one day, can you do that? I mean, that's just a mindset. Some dentists don't think you can do it, but I do it two or three times a month. I'll make the entire mouth rehabilitated in one day.
Okay. Which is obviously a big case from a revenue standpoint as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it adds up. If you do a few of those in a month, you don't have to work that hard the rest of the month to make a practice that's very successful. I don't do it every month, but it's, you know, two or three times a month has been pretty common.
Well, you know, the great thing about that is full mouth dentistry, especially restorations, from a marketing standpoint, me being a marketing guy, you know, I've helped several of our clients do full mouth, get a full mouth treatment case. And in one situation, it was from just a real simple survey. And one of the patients that was already a patient there, but had not been asked this question, Bill, it's just, this goes back to just how you're running your office. And our little survey that we sent out with one of the services that we offer asked, you know, do you have any wishes or desires with your smile? And that turned into a 40,000 full mouth restoration.
Because your smile had a wish.
Well, it's just, you know, we asked the question, right? And it was just via a real simple online survey that we send out with all of our clients that they send out to their patients. And we red flagged this one because we were like, whoa, look at this. Wait a minute. This person, this could be a biggie. And it turned out to be a $40,000 full mouth case. So, from a marketing standpoint, I get really excited about that when you say, you know, make sure that you're capable of doing a full mouth in a day. Because, wow, if as a marketing company, we can get that, you know, two or three times a month and the dentist is capable of doing it, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always tell people is you got to be capable. Capacity, that last thing I talked about, digs in deep into creating capacity within the individual dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that toward the end, but I'm thinking that mindset has to be there that you can do it. Then you got to believe that the team that's going to surround you can do everything well. You know, the doctor that tries to do everything himself usually is a poor result. If they try to do their own marketing, you know how that turns out.
Yep.
If they try to make their own temporaries, you know, that takes a long time. If they try to do their own consults, that takes a long time. So we've got a system where my staff can do all the temporaries. I can turn over the marketing to my experts. I can turn over just about anything I don't want to do to my experts in the office.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, so that team, and you know, you got some hints on that just as far as even the mindset for the team, right? At the start of the day, you know, I've heard some practice management consultants talk about, you know, the team huddle to start the day off. And you know, I think that's kind of great. You know, I used to play football in high school and, you know, we have a huddle for every play. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But do you have any kind of tips or tricks that you use to get that team mindset?
I do. Let's just jump right on that team huddle in the morning because I used to not like it. And the reason I didn't like it was because we brought all the doctors and team members together, 20 of us, and it was too unwieldy.
Yeah.
And so when I never have been that small, but once or twice in my whole career because I've always had a group practice after we got rolling. And, you know, the bottom line story is I got two practices I started over when I was 48 and grew from zero to $5 million with a group practice in about 10 years. So I know how to run a group practice in the secret the huddle in the morning is to go ahead and have a pod meeting where you got your dental assistant, your front desk scheduler, your hygienist, and your dental assistants. You had that group as a pod, and you basically lay out everything you want, and the pod has a goal. And our goal is schedule goal, and also patients in the chair goal. And so I'll cover that right now about scheduling. And it's really the most critical thing you can do in the morning is start off at 8 o'clock with the perfect schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell our team that I want a $10,000 a day goal, and I tell my team that I want 3 patients in the chair at 8 o'clock. And so if I can meet both of those goals and the team does their homework and is ready for that, then I'm going to have a great day. Sometimes they don't book 10,000, but that's our goal. Mm-hmm. So I might have $5,000 of dentistry booked, but we're going to find $5,000 more during the day as our goal, because we want to try to hit our goal by the end of the day. And so we have a system, the same day dentistry system or the say yes system, two different campaigns that we run. And if during the day you can create whatever you're lacking on your goal, then every day becomes a success.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part that I'm talking about, having 3 patients in the office, we run an ABC column where we got A production, B is producing but not high production, and C is the no production dentistry, like seat and crowns or doing ortho checks, things that they need about a 5 or 10 or 20 minute appointment, just mm-hmm. in and out.
Yep.
And so the ABC system needs 3 people in the chair at 8 o'clock, and then we just dovetail all the way down the day. So I'm trying to run 3 chairs, but really produce it in 1 chair.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the secrets I told one of my mastermind guys, they really picked up on it, was we don't put anything in the first column, that A column, if it's not $1,000 or more. And so they were kind of going, oh, you mean you have to produce all day long? That column is, it can't be filled up with anything but good stuff. And so that was an aha moment for them, because their staff were putting all kind of little nitpicking things all over the appointment schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't leave room for the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they told the staff, this has got to be filled in with only big cases, you know, a crown prep, a root canal, you know, 10 fillings, 5 fillings, something that's going to take up and make a block of time that fills that gap, it changed their life. Their whole schedule improved tremendously just from letting the staff know what their expectations were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, have that structure, and I think a lot of dentists, depending on their location, might be a little difficult, having that $1,000 mark for depending on where they're at, and just where they're at, even just with their practice as well. But I think to have that as a potential goal is a good one. But where in there does the smaller cases fit? Is that B or C then? Or?
Yeah, if you're doing fill-ins, you're doing 2 or 3 a quadrant of fill-ins, you might put those in the B column. C's would be all no-charge things,
okay.
The post-op checks. I do a lot of TMJ and orthodontics, and so we have one assistant who does mostly that. And so she will be doing that all day long, have 5 to 10 patients in that column during the day.
Okay.
So she has one patient an hour or one patient every half hour, and I'm only in that room for a minute or two, typically, maybe 5 minutes at the most.
Which is
so
great.
Most time I'm over in the A room doing the good stuff, and B room I'm seating, bridges or taking teeth out. Emergencies could go in this B column. Anything that I don't plan on having big production.
Okay, that sounds good. So we've covered mindset, we've covered team. What else we got in the big five that we want to go a little deeper on?
Well, we talked about scheduling quite a bit. And we focused on hitting our goal. And I think if anybody is listening that wants to really change the dynamic within a week or two of anything, they go mindset and scheduling. And you change the mindset of your person booking you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your mindset. Hopefully you have a mindset that you like to work hard and do well, but change the mindset of the person coming in. I know you've had a lot of dentists and hygienists and management consultants probably talking about the new patient experience mm-hmm. on your podcast.
Yep.
And I know a lot of the guys you've had on your podcast, and they're great friends of mine, so I respect what they're doing. But let me throw out an idea that really needs to sink into the profession, because there's such a dichotomy. The new patient experience coming in through the doctor exam is something I really believe in, rather than through the hygiene exam.
Okay.
A new patient coming in through the hygiene only instead of coming in for the doctor to examine them before they see the hygienist, I get 50% more treatment discovered that the patient needs when they come in through the new patient experience than they do through the hygiene room.
Hmm.
And that's just because of a time crunch. When you have a time crunch, you don't spend as much time looking and talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then they except because you build the rapport and because of the techniques we use in the new patient experience, you know, the psychology of the new patient experience is what makes it work. It's because of what you do in the experience. And I find that twice the amount of dentistry is treatment plan that's and is accepted by the patient. So the dentist sees more, and they also get accepted at about 100% more when you talk about doing the traditional versus the new patient experience through the doctor.
And with that approach, Bill, you're not talking about kind of you talk about new patient experience. So I'm assuming you're not flying these patients through, and it's not like a conveyor belt kind of thing where they just come in and you're trying to pop them all. You're still building the rapport, but you're doing it in a more efficient way. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Right. I'm spending a fairly good bit of time with them, mm-hmm. but not. I do it with a very systematic approach that they feel like they're there with me the whole time, but they're really only there for about 20 to 30 minutes of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And so a new patient might be there in the office an hour and a half, and I'm there with them in a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interviewing them, and then I'm having their records taken, and I'm doing a complete exam. And, you know, I don't do any consultations. That's one of the secrets to my success is that I don't do consultations. I do exams very well, and I do rapport building during the exam. And I basically have patients accept more treatment that way. That's very contrary to what a lot of dentists are taught,
mm-hmm.
is not to do consults. I don't do them. And I haven't done them for 25 years. I heard Dick Barnes long, long time ago talking about how to do consultations, and I learned that technique. But I also had one of my staff members sitting in there with me. And eventually I figured out she could do it better than me. And so I turned it over to her, and I haven't given a consult on a regular basis, like I say, since that time, over 25 years.
Right, and you've definitely she has been trained to be very efficient at the consult. And I'm assuming as far as your being able to produce lots of revenue, she's been trained for this.
Yeah, I've had several that have done it, not just one.
Okay.
So it's not one supergirl. I mean, she's a very supergirl, but she's a professional that everybody would love to have on their team. But I've had several that were trained to do the same thing over the years. The beauty of it all is I have associates that are fairly new out of school, work with me periodically, you know, 1 year out of school, 1 year out of residency, mm-hmm. 5 years out of school. And here I am 40 years out of school now. So there should be a difference, you know, between us, you think. But
yep.
when these patients come in through the consultation process and this staff member is doing the consults, they are as productive as I am. As far as their treatment acceptance.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So it's not about the dentist as much as it is about the presentation. When it's, you know, any dentist is successful under the system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that anybody can discover how it works and do. It's not like I'm gifted and my staff members are gifted. It's like everybody can do it once they know, you know, the points that you want to cover.
Yeah, which I think that's great. Hey, one thing I'm really intrigued about is where you talk about capacity. So can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, capacity is one doctor's ability to do a lot or more than another doctor. I mean, I can lift 500 pounds and you can lift 600 pounds, so you'd have more capacity than me. And so I've worked with 20 different associates over the years, and so I watch dentists. And I've seen how they operate. I've seen their numbers every day for the 25, 30 years I've had associates. And so I do understand that there is a difference in how we're built, our mindset, our multitasking ability. You know, some dentists cannot multitask like others. And so I just want to put it out there that if you'd like to multitask, then you'll have more ability to do more dentistry. But if you don't like multitasking, what you need to do is get really good at the big cases and be really good at sales, because you won't have multiple people in the operatories. You know, you'll be seeing one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know your own strengths and weaknesses when you talk about capacity. So once you like to be a multitasking dentist and have a couple of balls in the air and being juggled at the same time, then working in my system works really well. But if you don't, then, you know, I wouldn't want you to be swallowed up. Here's a couple of things that will increase your ability is use an anesthetic system that gets people numb instantly rather than having to wait for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or renumb them. Mm-hmm. So if you want to use one that takes a while to get going so you can go do something else, you could use our standard lidocaine and septocaine. But I use Anura, and I used to use Onpharma. Those are two buffered anesthetic systems, and they'll allow you to get started twice as fast. So you can be doing less chair hopping. Sometimes you can inject the patient and start drilling within 1 minute.
Wow.
So a very useful tool. I also use sedation, DOCS protocol, triazolam traditionally. And two of my associates have IV sedation capability, and they love that. So if you have sedation capability, then your capacity goes up. And if you're a marketer and you have sedation capability, you're going to have a 50% larger market than the dentists who don't do anesthesia, sedation anesthesia.
Yeah. Sedation's a big one just because, as we all know, that can land some big cases where people just want to go in and get it all done, you know, in one shot, pardon the pun. And I think from a marketing standpoint, sedation is very, very fun. It's, creating lots of good content around on the website and just really, you know, educating that website visitor on, you know, the benefits of sedation. And when they, you know, read that good information, they're more apt to pick up that phone and call you and say, you know what, I've read about your sedation and I'm really interested in that because I feel like I have a lot of work to get done. And then the dentist, you get to land a bigger case, which is really, really good.
Yeah, most of the time I'm going to hire a dentist to work for me nowadays. It's always going to be somebody that graduated from a residency that has a sedation, IV sedation training. And they can come in and produce $20,000 to $30,000 more per month than somebody without that training, just because the opportunity is there to pick up cases that they would normally not have an opportunity to pick up.
Yeah, well just all those the people out there, too, that fear the dentist, right?
You know, they do.
That's another biggie for sedation is just people that just are scared out of their minds to go into a dentist or maybe had a couple of bad experiences. And then when they find out the option of sedation, it kind of eases their mental a little bit to where they at least are more willing to book that appointment and give it a go, as opposed to not having sedation offered, where that's kind of a no-go for some people. They land on a website, see that there's no sedation, and they might go right back, click the back button, and find that competitor that offers sedation and go over there.
Now, another thing I do that helps us have higher capacity is communication systems within the office. I'll have a communication system that's – I call a card system. Some people have a route board, and I have a route cards. And the information will be put on the counter behind me, and I'll walk down the hall with the latest update about what the patient cares about, where to go, whether they need anesthesia, which teeth are involved. I mean, I know everything I need to know on that route card. And when I walk in the room, the dental hygienist or the dental assistant's already prepped the patient for what I'm fixing to say and do. And I cut off a couple of minutes on every appointment. And if I see 20 or 30 appointments in a day, you know, I'm saving an hour right there just in my communication systems. And I can do something productive rather than slowing down and trying to find out what it is that the patient needs by listening to the hygienist. So just good systems in the office for communication, and we really look for every moment to shave off of non-patient time. Once I'm with a patient, I'm slowing down and talking to them and feeling like I'm, you know, the king and they're the person I'm serving. You know, I want them to feel like this is their time with me, that nobody else matters.
Well, you know, and everything you've kind of, you know, pointed towards is just that efficiency factor where, you know, time is money. And we all know that in any business and in life, time is money. And if you can get efficient with your time, you know, via the staff and you and how your systems are run, that allows you to make more revenue for your practice, which I think any dentist listening out there would be very excited to make more revenue to their, you know, in their practice being more efficient.
Hey, let's talk about return on investment and revenue. How much should dentists spend on marketing? And I'm always interested in the return on investment for marketing. What are your guidelines?
Well, it's not really a good guideline, but, you know, it just depends on where the person's at in their practice. If they're, you know, they're a baby dentist and just starting out, or they've got, you know, a million plus, you know, practice where they're looking to take it to the next level. But we always kind of think of, you know, 3 to 5% of gross revenues would be as kind of a good marketing number to go by. And then you can split it up into, you know, possibly, you know, redoing your website and doing search engine optimization to get picked up in Google and doing some, adding some new content to your website. So about 3 to 5% is kind of what we tell people that when we're talking on the phone that they should be investing in marketing.
Okay, well, I can go along with that, but let me give you my specific concept. Young practices need to go a lot higher percentage-wise in the first year. They need to really double down and market heavily because they don't have any patients. And so the whole job of the dental practice when you're starting out is to have patients.
Yep.
So I think 10% would be a minimum that I would put in an early practice.
Sure.
And then as you get mature, you go to 3 to 5. A very mature practice, 3% is about the minimum of how it would go.
Right.
And I always say that 50% of your new patients ought to come from personal referrals from existing patients.
Yep.
In a mature practice.
Sure.
And the only way you get to be mature is to be around a while and have a lot of people coming through that like you and stay with you.
Yeah, you build that reputation in the community.
And it's just as important to have a good open door, but also a closed door on the back end.
Yep. Yep. No. I think, you know, it's great that you brought that up to the marketing budgets, because a lot of times the dentist, you know, they marketing is, I like to kind of say it's a cost of doing business, and any business that wants to be successful and grow has got to do marketing. If you're not marketing, then you're not growing. And, that's where we come in, you know, with a lot of the services we offer. But it's something where the dentist as a business owner really needs to grasp that. And I think, we haven't talked about it yet on the podcast out of 11 episodes we've shot so far. But, you know, putting out those numbers of 3 to 5% and even 10% for the new dentist, it's great that they're going to hear that, because it really, truly is the numbers that you should really kind of go by. And, you know, we've got some dentists that have some real big marketing budgets, but they're in competitive areas. They could be a cosmetic dentist. They could be an orthodontist, where the return on investment is much, much greater, where, you know, each new patient's $5,000 to $6,000. But, for a cosmetic dentist, could be the same thing where you're doing 6 veneers, 8 veneers. That could be the same kind of dollar amount, if not more. So it's definitely important to have an idea. You know, it's not in stone by any means, but have an idea of, you know, what percent of your revenues you should be spending on marketing. And then at that point, breaking down even more what type of marketing you should do. And obviously nowadays, in 2016, digital marketing's a big deal. If it's not referrals, people are going to the internet and searching for a dentist. So digital marketing is a big part of that.
Yeah, I started out with a website in 1997 and became my own webmaster and was in charge of my own social media up until probably 5 years ago. And I turned it over to professionals at that time.
Yeah.
But, we grew $500,000 a year every year for 10 straight years. And most of it was because we were number one on the web design and website. We were the first out there. And now you don't have a chance to be the first out there. You're already in the mix with everybody else.
Right. Yeah, it's much, much more competitive, but there's still a chance to be a number one in your area, especially, you know, if you're in an area of, you know, 50,000 population, 100,000 population, even the bigger ones too, because what we've seen out there is a lot of underperforming websites and underperforming, you know, digital marketing campaigns. And so there's still lots of opportunity out there. It's the dentist that's willing to treat their practice like a real business and know that there's an investment involved in marketing. There's an investment involved in things that, like, you offer with practice management and going to these masterminds. All these things all add up to increasing your revenues quickly. And if a dentist doesn't have that mindset, then unfortunately, they're going to kind of be left behind, unfortunately, in their area. And the dentists that are willing to invest in that type of stuff, they're going to always be at the top, and they're going to be the ones growing at percentages like you just talked about, you know, 500,000 a year or more. So I think it's real important just to have that mindset. And I know you talked about it earlier, the mindset within your practice, but also the mindset for your business. And if you can have both of those, then I think you really have a chance, even as competitive as it is now, you still have a chance of doing well. Dentistry is competitive, but it's still not, it's not over yet.
You did say that in one of your podcasts earlier, I listened to it and it said you needed unique content.
Yes.
Update your content. And yep. That's one of the keys to being successful, and why we were really successful was because I kept putting up new content every week. And I had stories about us, and I had news events about us. And so every dentist who's out there who's listening to this needs to be aware that your content marketing that goes up on the website, that goes on Twitter and Facebook, it's got to be done on a regular basis. And I don't think dentists have time to do that themselves. So that's why you need a staff and a team of professionals behind you.
Yeah, the content, you know, the worst thing about dental websites at this point, well, there's two things is, you know, outdated websites, number one. You know, the people, their expectations when they land on a website are much higher than they were even 5 years ago. And so if you haven't updated your website in, let's say, 3 years, then you probably need a redo, unfortunately. But it's just, again, a cost of doing business. But when people land on an outdated website, it doesn't give them a lot of confidence about that dentist. And unfortunately, the dentist can be a great dentist offering phenomenal services and results, but that website, at that initial touch point of marketing with their website, killed the deal, and they hit the back button and went to the next competitor that has a better, more updated website, and the content goes hand in hand with the website. If you've got this cookie cutter content that doesn't, you know, touch that emotional button of that visitor that's trying to find out about veneers or smile makeovers or bridges or crowns or Invisalign, then you've lost them. So yeah, I'm glad you brought up the content too. And it's great that you were ahead of your time way back when, creating that content on your own. And, you know, and I always tell, you know, dentists when I'm on the phone with them, if they can do it on their own, they know the content better than anybody, and they've got their own flavor and feel for things, then by gosh, you know, write it. You know, spend, you know, an hour a week on a weekend maybe writing a new content page. Or if you can't or don't have the staff to do it, then you would hire somebody like us that, you know, offers, you know, content marketing with uniquely written content that's not copied anywhere on the internet. But hey, Bill, we've gone about 30 minutes, and I really love to just keep at that point. But you've given some great, great information, and I'd love to have you on maybe down in the future to cover some more stuff in detail. But I think you've whetted the appetite of our listeners. Can you give us some contact information, anything you got going on over there in your neck of the woods that our listeners might be interested in?
Well, in my neck of the woods, this is Atlanta, Georgia, where I live and practice. It's a little town in the suburbs of Atlanta called Suwanee. My practice is suwaneedental.com.
Okay.
S-U-W-A-N-E-E dental.com. So you can look at my own practice website there and see what I do as a dentist. At this point, I work 2 days a week as a dentist. And, you know, I figured out how to be productive in 2 days a week. And the other days, I'm a coach or a consultant, whatever you want to call me.
Yep.
And I teach dentists how to be productive and happy. And one of the things I'm trying to do is reach my peers that are ready to retire or think they're ready to retire or wish they could retire one day. So my sweet spot is 45 to 65-year-old dentist. Not that everybody can't learn what I'm doing to be successful, but I've just found that those guys listen very well to what I'm saying because they feel the pain of knowing they got to retire and they don't have enough yet saved. And so I'm teaching people how to finish well.
Which is great. And what's that website, your Solstice website? What's the URL?
Yeah, you can go to solsticedentaladvisors.com/mastermind if you want to find out about our next mastermind, which starts in July.
Oh, great.
But solsticedentaladvisors.com, and Solstice is like the summer solstice, you know. And we're glad to share with anybody this information. I've got lots of training that people can jump in on. And, you know, it all started with my book, Marketing the $1 Million Practice, was how I gave 28 different tips on how to market better. So that one covers a lot about what you do. You know, it emphasizes a lot of what you do as a daily business. And I think the dentist should have somebody do it for them. So they should read the book and then hire you.
Well, I was just going to say, we'll put all the links in the show notes, and I'll definitely put a link to your $1 Million Practice book.
Link it on Amazon, and that'll be great.
Yep, I'm going to put a direct link to Amazon to where they don't have to search for it on Amazon. They'll go right to it. So that'll be in the show notes. Hey, Bill, I want to thank you so much. And one last thing I want to tell our listeners, too, is if you're looking to get more patients from the internet, you'll want to go get my free report on my website at www.aznetmarketing.com. And you'll see a big button right at the top of the page there. And you can just click to get the free report and enter your email address, and you'll get it within a matter of minutes. But hey, Bill, you've given us a lot of great information. I really appreciate you taking the time. And listeners, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode. And we'll see you again next time.
Okay, thank you. And I want you to know I did download your free report. It is wonderful. You hit the nail on the head with some great suggestions. It's been a pleasure to be on your show, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Bill.